RNZ National, it's time for Tech Tuesday. I'm joined by Daniel Watson from Vertec IT Services. Hey there, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Every time you're on, we get emails as soon as you're gone, and so I've collected a few of them here, and I want to put them to you. This is people wanting your tech advice. So actually, I get this one reasonably often, so I'm keen to get your thoughts on it. Someone asks, is it worth upgrading the standard Wi-Fi router that was provided by my internet provider? Would buying one from a store give me faster speeds and a stronger signal?
Yes, generally it will be, because obviously if you're an ISP, you've got to pump out a lot of those devices and you're including in your plan, so you're going to go for what's cheap. If you've got a house that's kind of like two stories or is kind of spread out, then you're really going to benefit with it by going out there and getting some specific advice for what's going to be appropriate for your environment. I know that even with if you're in an apartment, sometimes that can be quite a noisy wireless environment in terms that everybody around you is going to have their own Wi-Fi router blasting away, and there's only a limited number of channels that don't overlap. So sometimes you just need to get a gruntier one to pump out the signal strong enough for your devices to hear it and ignore everything else.
That's really interesting. What sort of money would you spend on a decent router?
Be prepared to drop, say, $300. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you're sorted. And
the other thing is, multiple rooms, right?
Yeah, multiple rooms. And there are more and more devices that are going to connect, right? You probably just think about your laptop, but then there are all sorts of other things that you probably don't even think about that might be using your Wi-Fi, from the TV to everyone's phones in the house to whatever other devices that you've got going on, right?
That's right. And also, if you're the building that you're in or the house you're in, it depends on the building material type, because certain things are more absorbent of the Wi-Fi radio signal than other things. I did a wireless fit out quite some time ago for a big place out the back of Riverhead, and we need to put 21 access points in that house, and essentially one per room, because the walls of every were like this foamed concrete called Hebel block, right, which just soaked up the wireless signal, and as soon as you left the room, you had to switch to a different access point. So that's another thing to consider.
Okay, a lot of these emails look like they could have come from me. They're things I think about and never act on, like this one. How do I, or can I, delete the largest files in Google Photos so that I don't have to pay for so much storage? In the beginning, Gmail was great, Daniel. It was just like, wow, it's free. I can save all my emails forever. And then they started stinging you with little storage things. And then suddenly, actually, you're using quite a bit of storage. I've got a monthly fee. Is there a good sort of, and I'm sure this applies to other cloud services as well, a good way of going and cleaning out some of the stuff that you don't need anymore?
Like, say with the Google Drive, if you install the app on your computer, by default, it'll default to streaming mode. Which means that it's not going to download all those files onto your computer. So you don't have to worry about disk storage on your local machine. But it does make it easier to open up Explorer and then list by size. All right. And then you can see, right, okay, what are my largest files? Is that a kid's birthday party or that I want to keep? Or is that just some drunken night out recording that I'm quite ashamed of and I'll purge away immediately? That's probably the easiest way to deal with those kind of things. If you're,
I missed the first piece of advice there, Daniel. Sorry, what was the first thing that you do?
Oh, so in your browser, if you're viewing your Google Drive via your browser, you can go up to the top and select Google Drive, and then under there, you can click on the option to get backup and sync for Windows. It's under the cog icon, right? And then that'll install an application on your local computer, which will make it nice and easy for you to view those files and delete them. You can actually do it straight from the browser as well, but depends on what you find is easiest to, you know, shuffle them.
Okay, thank you. That's quite easy to find, actually, if anyone wants to have a go at that. Here's a question. It's a bit of a reach for some folks, but if you're in danger of hanging amongst a tough crowd, if you use bio-authentication, like face scan or fingerprints as a lock, someone can use them even if you're unconscious or indisposed by scanning your face or using your fingerprint with your own phone. I am an over-worrier at times and worry that at some point over the long term, if someone gets an electronic copy of my face or fingerprints and it becomes clonable, it's not something that I'd be able to change like you could a password. It's still safe right now, but it might be a good question for Daniel at some point. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, okay. So this is a fiddly one. Right now, there have been well-publicized incidences where fingerprints have been cloned, right? And I think some chap in India did 500 counts of theft using that method, right? Because it doesn't actually take... You've probably seen TV shows like Criminal Minds and that kind of stuff where they're showing people scamming their way past that. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you're hanging for a tough crowd, I mean, they might just chop off your finger. you might want to rethink the crowd you're
running
in.
Thank you for that reassuring advice, Daniel. But yes, I get your point. It might be the least of your problems.
Exactly. Multi-factor authentication is useful in that respect. So there are settings and security policies in most systems where you can state things like, you know, if the device has been rebooted, you have to put in the password first before it'll accept your bio-authentication, like your face scan or fingerprints, right? Which just helps and reduce the risk somewhat. And I'd go towards that. And in, from a business perspective, there are additional policies where you can do conditional access, where if they're trying to log in from an unusual place for you, then it can flag that up and block the login, even if it is absolutely 100% correct, or at least it will prompt for your original password so that it's not just a straight in.
Before we go, Daniel, and thank you for your help for all those listeners, by the way, Christmas is coming. I know that you're a bit of a late organizer, as I am, but for everybody else who's starting to think about the 25th of December, if they're thinking about techie presents, any advice, any general advice, and how are we looking for stocks as Christmas approaches?
Most people have probably already noticed that when they've been trying to order stuff, it's fairly variable as to when things turn up. If it's already in country, like it's sitting with the vendor, great, you're going to be fine. But if it's showing zero stock or they're having to, you're actually being redirected to an Australian website, it might take 2 or 3 weeks to arrive, and it's going to get worse as the volume of demand increases in this next month. And on top of that, we're still dealing with the fallout from the pandemic in terms of there is just not the volume of containers getting across the seas. I've got logistics clients who are quite stressed about it, and therefore the importers and exporters are all fairly stressed because, you know, whereas before they might have been able to get an allocation of 40 containers for an import schedule, they're only getting allocated 4, right? And then some hard decisions have to be made. So it'll be less lines to choose from, and there'll be less immediately available. So if you haven't done that shopping now, then my recommendation is you start browsing YouTube videos on craft arts and crafts and figure out how to make something personal out of what you can find at the bottom of the kitchen drawer.
It's not an iPad, but it's my version of an iPad made out of Hessian and wool.
Pipe cleaners, yeah. I mean, those are always hanging around. Who has pipes these days?
Good for you. Thanks for the info. Great to have you on, Daniel, and we'll catch you in a couple of weeks for the next Tech Tuesday.
Great stuff.
That's Daniel Watson from Vertec IT Services. And if you've got a question for him, you can send it via me, Jesse, at rnz.co.nz.